Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we're delighted to be with you and are hopeful that the things that we share with you are a help to you. And we think about being on the broadcast now for several years, and we're hoping the things that we've discussed over that period of time has been a help to you as you try to improve your relationship with God, as you try to better understand His will or His ways. Hopefully, it's been a help to you as you've studied the Scriptures. The Scriptures are our only means of understanding what God would have us to do. And thus, we have to put time and effort in to understanding the Scriptures so that we can understand God's will. So we want to encourage you to listen closely this day, to call in your questions if you have them, and allow us to go to God's Word and to share with you the treasures therein. The number to call is 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your heart. Again, this is a live call-in radio broadcast where you set the theme by calling in your question, and then we will go to God's Word to answer those questions. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564.
Now, if you would like to go live, all you need to do is, when you call in, just say, I would like to go live, and we will need your name, and we need your promise that you will turn your radio down as soon as we begin to converse back and forth. And that way there will be no echo that will cause confusion. And so we do want you to know that if you want to go live, we need to get your name for certain. And then we can address you by name and have a pleasant conversation. And then also that you turn your radio down so that we might be able to have no confusion as we look to the Bible for the answers. Now, there's another way to communicate with us if you chose to. If you've got a cell phone, you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283, and we can get your question even right now as we go to the Bible for the answers. By the way, all of these phone numbers are the area code 843, so make that note, especially if you communicate with someone that's outside this area, and thus you're able to let them know that it's area code 843. Now, why did I say outside this area? Because we're live on the Internet. If you know of a friend or relative who is out of the country or out of the state,
Professor Hawes, the questions are yours. The answers are the results. So you set the tone, you set the subject matter, and we go to God for the answer. Because you do not want to listen to what man has to say, and we have no authority whatsoever, save what God says in His Word, and that's why we're going to let the Bible speak. So now is your opportunity. Both lines are available, as well as the cell phone, and therefore go ahead and give us your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Again, that website is BabbleAlone.com, and you can go live climbing over the internet, and it's our pleasure to be with you. We have Chuck answering the phone here at the station today, so make certain that you go ahead and get in while the question can get in before the end of today's broadcast. Many times, those of you that listen regularly know that the lines tend to fill up toward the end of the broadcast, and the questions pile up. But right now is your chance to go ahead and join us, and we will let the Bible speak the number. 308-95-64, that's 308-WJMI, and we will let the Bible speak. We have a question that came in last week, and so let's begin with that question. I'm not started guessing, I'm not sure I had the answer, but at least we can give you some examples of possible answers to your question. And the question comes in from Liz, and talk about a dead body, revived, and prayed out, why is that in the Bible? A dead body that was revived and prayed out. I can only think about dead bodies that were revived, and so I'm still looking for this one that was prayed out. The first example that I'll put out now is 2 Kings chapter 13, and verse 21, and verse 2, we start in verse 20, talks about a dead body that touched Elisha's bones, and how this man was revived. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20, the Bible says, "Then Elisha died, and they buried him, and the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. And so it was as they were burying a man, as suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. Now, I don't think that is referring to what you're talking about, but at least that is one example of how is a person that was revived. By touching Elisha's bones, not sure if he was thrown out, but I know that would have scared me pretty bad if I was there. Yours right now, Gordon, call 308-9564. 308-9564. Yes, if you are listening, I hope that has been helpful to you. And if not, call us back and give us a little bit more clarity of your information. We might be able to go further on that. Again, the number's 308-9564, that's 308-WJMI. The lines are now available, so now's your chance to call in your question, and we will let the Bible speak. Now, if I know that people call in and ask questions of various kinds throughout the select week, and they make me apology about just going to the Bible for the answer. Because when all is said and done, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one of us will give an account of what we've done while we live in this body of ours, this container that we have to live in from anywhere from 50, 60, 70, 80 years, some even up to 90 years. But one day all of us are going to be putting this body down. And we're going to leave this body behind, this container, this tent, the Bible calls it a tabernacle, a temporary place to dwell in. And we will dwell in it in a year, and we'll be under totally under Tony Cow of God at that time, and he will determine where we will spend eternity. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to to that which he has done, whether good or bad. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Philippians goes ahead and points out on that day, and so we need to make certain that we are going to be serving him and find out how to serve him here and now, so that we may be prepared to meet him that day. This is a truth that will not be contradicted. God will be judging all mankind according to the things we've done in this body that we now live in, whether it's good or evil. So many years ago, told us the whole meaning of life, even though he did not necessarily follow that wise information that he shared with us in the book of Ecclesiastes. He said for this is the whole of man, that we fear God and keep his commandments. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether it be secret, whether it be good or evil. Everything is going to be brought into judgment. So right now, our obligation to God is that we know how to please him, to serve him, to honor him, and show respect for him. So we must honor, respect him, and keep his commandments, so that we may hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Now what disturbs us here so much today is there are so many, especially, this is a religious broadcast, this is a station that dominates with the religious broadcasting. And yet what we see many times are so many different things that are taught that it should disturb us when we see how contrary some of those things are to God's word. And Lord willing, and hopefully, that you will not hear anything contrary to God's word in this hour and a half program each week. We're going to go to the Bible for all the answers, because when we stand before God one day, it will be his word that we should be having confidence in. And that's what we're going to be judged by on that great and noble day when we stand before him in judgment. So we're going to go to the Bible for the answer. And so we make no apology for that, because God is the one that we should be listening to all along. Your phone number, go ahead and call 308-9564. Lines are open, 308-9564. Lines break down pretty quiet, so if you're trying to get in, maybe you've been trying to get in week after week and have not been able to, now it's an opportune time to do that. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. And for those of you who may be listening for the first time, we do have a website where you can go and listen to previously recorded broadcasts. Our website is www.BibleAlone.com. www.BibleAlone.com. Are you able to download a personally recorded broadcast, but you're also able to access this broadcast via the web. There's a link on that site. In addition to that, there's some other resources that may be a help to you, a tool that may aid you in your service to trying to sound this hardcore. So we hope that website can be of some use to you. We do have a text line for those of you who would prefer to send your question in via text. That number is 725-9283. Again, that number is 725-9283. Now, in just a few moments, what we'd like to tell you about a Bible course and this course that will be available to you. Many of our listeners have taken advantage of this tool. Last couple of weeks, we've had people calling in and telling us their experience with that course. And so, if this is something that you're interested in, you're going to want to contact the Upward Standing Bible. I'm going to give you that number here shortly. But think about it for a moment. If you in your life at this point in time are not studying the way you should study, if you're not growing spiritually the way you think you should be growing spiritually, then here's a tool that may be of some help to you. Maybe you're listening to a phrase that's being preached and you're saying to yourself, this just doesn't sound right. Or, in fact, you know it to be wrong because of all the parts of scriptures that you are with. Here's a tool that's going to enhance your knowledge of the scriptures. So I encourage you to take advantage of it. It's time for us to take our first break. And while we're at break, we want to encourage you to listen closely about this offering that we're going to give you, and then there's going to be a form that you can call us, that you can sign up free of charge for this course. And this course is a Bible study in your home that you can do at your own pace. So if this is something of interest to you, just listen closely. Even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to go ahead and call in your questions. The number to call right now is 308-9564. Again, that number, 308-9564. We'll be right back. I want to encourage you to, if you are able to come out and be with us, Miss Ashley, if that's something that you're able to do, again, it'd be an opportunity for you to ask questions, as well as hear a message from God's Word. And so again, everything that we do is designed to come from the Scriptures. So if you've been missing that piece of hearing God's Word, we encourage you to come out and be with us. Also, we made mention of I-Cross-Pass course. Again, that's available to you, so go ahead and call it Upward Standing Bar. Again, everything that we do is free of charge. It's 553-5157. 553-5157. Now, to call your questions in at the station, to get your question answered on the air today, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-WJMR. If you want to text us, if you have a cell phone, you can text in your question at 725-9283. And you can text in your question at 725-9283. Many times people call in and I want to know about how to recognize, to find a church that's like what the Bible says. And same judgment. following verses, he rebukes them because some were aligning or calling themselves after Paul and Peter and Cephas and Apollos. And he says, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? He's rebuking them because they were elevating even the apostles or Apollos into a position that was higher than other people. And thus he lets them know very clearly through the first three chapters of 1 Corinthians that that is inappropriate, that is cruel, that is not according to the will of God. And he says, I determined to not know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is who should be elevated. Matter of fact, Jesus Himself said in Matthew 28, verse 18, all power, or depending on your translation, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And so if Jesus has all power, all authority, who should get all the glory? Who should get all of the esteem? It is Christ. And so if man starts lifting himself up with titles, with prefixes before their name, whether it is biblical or not, then that is wrong. Because Christ has all authority, He should get all glory and all esteem. Matter of fact, my friends, those of you who have read through the Bible, you know in the book Revelation, who is it that is getting all the worship in heaven for their sins in the book Revelation? It is the Lamb who is sitting on the throne, who is worthy to open the seals. It was the Christ. Who is the Savior, the head of the body? It is Christ. And all in all, we can see He's the one that deserves all authority and glory and power. And thus, He's the one that we should be seeking to lift up. When the church began, in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, what was the message that was preached? It was Christ crucified that was preached. And as you go throughout the book of Acts and see what was taught from place to place, And from province to province, as the gospel went forth, and whenever they're preaching the word, but it was the word about Christ that was preached. Christ was crucified. He's the one that deserves all the glory and honor. So, one thing to look for, if you are looking for a church that is after God's choice, make certain that Christ is the one that is the only elevated person, period. He is the one that deserves all the glory and not us. A second thing to look for would be, and by the way, that elevation would even be included in the name. If there's a name that gives glory to a doctrine, or gives glory to a man that may have started the particular denomination, which in itself was condemned in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, recorded a minute ago. If it is man or doctrine or position within the church that is elevated even in the name itself, beware. That is not of God. Christ is the one that we should be calling ourselves after, both collectively and individually. And what watches questions or questions would be nothing more than to be a failure of Christ. And as far as a church, we're to only be a church that honors him belonging to Christ. So, as you go to church, or if you're leaving church right now and you happen to tune in, what was on the sign in front of the building where you were just at? Was it a name that gives glory and honor to the one who died for us, who spilt his blood that we might live? Or was it some other name? We should really consider that, because how is it that we're going to answer to one day? Will it be to the church fathers? No, it'll be Christ himself. So, he needs to be first and foremost as the center, the only authority, the one that is highly esteemed, and the only one that is highly esteemed, if we're going to be part of the church that belongs to the Christ, the Son of the Living God. Nick, you have some things you want to add on that one? Just thinking about these marks or these characteristics of the church, that we read up in the Bible. Another notable characteristic is the way the members interact with one another. They want to have a genuine love for one another. Now, I'm not talking about what they're just good friends or they're friendly.
That is Christ built. They're going to have a genuine love for one another, and there won't be any separation. And so there won't be a separation between age, or, you know, this is the young group and this is the old group. You know, young and old, they're going to get along together, and they're going to have a love and a compassionate love for one another. There won't be a separation due to color. This person's a different color, or this person's from a different background, and so we're going to treat them differently. No. They will all interact together and behave like family. And such is the nature of love. And so when you talk about the church in the Bible, they didn't have those kind of physical separations between them, but rather they were family. And we see this as a matter of command, that they were to have this kind of love. In 1 John 4 and verse 19, the Bible says, "We love him because he first loved us." If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, the Bible says he is a liar. But he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Now, oftentimes we read about a lot of denominations, and oftentimes in those denominations what we'll find is conflict among them. And I'm not saying that conflict is wrong, but the way the conflict was handled may be wrong. Handling conflict is supposed to be handled a certain way among those who love one another. They were to admonish one another as brothers. The Bible talks about one who's overtaken in a fault in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. And the ones that were spiritual were supposed to go to that person. And so even when there was trouble, it was supposed to be handled a certain way, again, expressing this love. God knew that the proper love being demonstrated among his people was going to be a proof or an evidence to those who would be looking for, yes, his people. And Jesus says it this way in John chapter 13 and verse 34. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love, one another." Verse 35, the result of such is going to be this: "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, Jesus is very specific when he says this new commandment. He had already told them, and they had been told even in the days of Moses, to love God with all their hearts and all their mind. They were told to love one another before. But here Jesus is more specific in that he says, "You love one another as I have loved you." And thus, the church that Jesus Christ built, those members are going to have a love for one another that's going to be sacrificial. That's the way it's going to look. They're willing to sacrifice one another. They're not going to talk about the things that someone owe them. They're not going to give them, each other something and expect something in return. No, these are going to be people who will serve, and they serve with an open heart. They're going to have a care and a compassion and a real love for one another. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564 if you have a question, or if you have a comment even to what we've talked about thus far, 308-9564.
Or you can text us at 725-9283. If you have a cell phone, you can text in your question to 725-9283. Either way, you will set the theme, you will set the question that we'll be discussing from God's Word, and we're more than happy to be able to go to the Bible to find the answer. We're looking, in the meantime, at characteristics of how to recognize a church that the Bible would be talking about. And so we've already noted that those that are elevated should be Jesus Christ, and the the people that are there should have a genuine love for one another. We're going to see more in just a few moments. But in the meantime, we're about to go to a break. We do want you to know that the information we're about to give you, everything that we mention and give and suggest on this program, is absolutely free. Jesus did not ever ask for money, nor should we. So please put away your pocketbooks. What we're about to tell you is free. We're glad to send it to you. And please note the dates involved in the meeting and then also the correspondence course. While we are at break, go ahead and take this opportunity to call in your question, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
Now back live, I want you to know that this is a live broadcast, and we're happy to be able to go to the Bible for the answers to the questions on our line today. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. Both lines are available. And we are glad to be able to receive your question, and we'll go find the answer in God's Word. If you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. The choice is yours, and we're happy to go to the Bible for those answers. We've already been talking this field today about how to recognize or how to find the kind of church that the Bible talks about. There are churches of every flavor that you can think of out there. Baskin Robbins has no claim to how many different flavors there are, especially when it comes down to churches. There are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of different flavors of churches out there. So how do you know which one is the one that God is pleased with? Well, the only way we can know is to let the Bible speak, let God's Word give us the information. We've touched on this field, that if we want to find the church that God is pleased with, Christ has got to be the one that receives all the honor and the glory. And man is not to take it away from God at all. Moses, with a slip of the tongue, took glory away from God, and he was not allowed to enter the promised land. And I do not know a man that has more favor with God today than Moses had with God back then. And so if that kept him from being in the promised land, guess what people that will even know God's name will have coming to them. wanted you to win him to salvation. And that is Jesus Christ. We also touched on that if we find the kind of church that the Bible talks about, we need to make certain that those are people that love God and must do what he says, and that they love one another. And those are two characteristics that God really well clearly brings out. That's what his people are going to look at, not what, and that's what we need to look for. There's another characteristic as well, not that. Yes, when we think about the church of Jesus Christ, that church should be teaching us one message. And that's to say that this is another characteristic of the church that Jesus built. And they all teach the same message concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, you may recall that from time to time we make mention of this passage in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, where Paul says that we are angels from heaven, which any of the gospel to you, let him be a curse. And so the idea, if anybody preaches, verses 6 through about 9, because he repeats it, he basically points out that neither an apostle nor an angel from heaven had a right to preach any other gospel than what they had currently received. And if they were to do it, he says, let them be a curse or anathema. And so there was a single gospel message. That gospel had to do with Jesus Christ, how that he came to this earth, and how that he died for the sins of the world. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 23 that all had sinned. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, and so all were destined for death. And thus Jesus came to save man from that death, but he required some things. He required that they believe in him, that they would have faith in him. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word God. So upon hearing this message about Jesus, a person either gonna believe it or they're not gonna believe it. If they believe it, then they must repent. And the gospel is preached for the first time after Jesus' resurrection in Acts chapter 2, this is what they told the people. They told the people to repent. They preached about Jesus' death, and then they told the people that they had to do some things. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, Peter stands up, he says, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, and have put to death. He says, you did it, you did it, you did it. But, you know, it's not just them. It's anyone who sinned because Jesus died because of our sins. And so we're the ones that killed Jesus. In verse 24, the Bible says, whom God raised up, God raised him from the dead, having loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be held by it. So Jesus came back from the dead. He conquered death. And thus those who are in Christ can conquer death as well. Thus, I need to get into Christ. When that happens is I repent of my sins, Acts chapter 2, and verse 38, and these folks were told to be baptized into Christ, and were baptized for the remission of sins. You read that verse closely, Acts 2, verse 38, you'll see that they were baptized and they received a remission or removal of sin. And so baptism was part of the plan. But that was not the only piece of it. They were told also to confess. If you look at Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, you'll see that they were told to confess, make a confession of faith. And there are many people that teach that all you have to do is confess. And they completely dismiss what we just looked at. But well, you can't do that, because some of God's word is not truth. And that when I say some, I'm saying S-O-M-E. But the some, S-U-M, of God's word is truth. And so we have to take it all in order to know what God is saying. And so confession was part of the plan. Baptism was part of God's plan. And in fact, there's an example of where these come together in Acts chapter 8, in Acts the 8th chapter. You have a man who's called an Ethiopian eunuch. He hears the gospel. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, that Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Philip preached Jesus to the eunuch. Verse 36, now as he went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water, what hinders me from being baptized? Verse 37, the Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and says, I believe. believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We call that a confession of faith. We believe that Jesus is to Christ the Son of the living God. And upon that confession, he can be baptized. Verse 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. You see, that's just what the Bible teaches. And there's no way around it. And note that he didn't sprinkle water on him. Notice that they went down into the water, and he was baptized. We have Dr. Cale texting in this question that they went into what you're saying there, Nick. The question is, why are so many people believing they can be saved by the so-called sinner's prayer, unquote? I read somewhere that it started 500 years ago and not in the first century. Why change God's words? So many innocent people buying into this or being led away and away from this. And so
there's no prayer here if you look
closely, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and somebody will say, well, you know, the Bible says you got to confess your sins. Well, that's not what it's talking about here, because here it reads, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believe that God raised him from the dead. Yeah, that's how the gospel ends. Jesus died, and he was buried, and he was risen from the dead. Yeah. And that's the power of the gospel, the fact that God raised him from the dead. If God can raise him from the dead, then he also can raise those who die with Christ. Romans chapter 6 talks about how a person can die with Christ. You see, it all says the same thing. If we just take all of what it says, as opposed to just taking a part of what it says. Join right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. Lines are now available, and so go ahead and call in your question, and we will be glad to go to the Bible for the answer. We appreciate thank you to everyone who texted in your question, and if you would rather communicate that way, you can do so on our cell phone at 725-9283. That's the text line, 725-9283. If you'd rather just use your voice, then go ahead and use the voice line at 308-9564. Both lines are now available, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is in your mind. In the meantime, we're looking at what God's kind of church looks like, what it behaves like, and how to recognize the kind of church that Jesus is Lord of. A lot of people say, Lord, but Jesus prophesied so long ago when he says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not cast out demons in your name? And in your name done many wonders? And then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you who practice lawlessness, iniquity. Those of you that are practicing sin, I never knew you. So what we need to do is to make certain that when we say Lord, that we're meaning it by doing what he says, by practicing what he says, by becoming what he tells us to become. The only way that we can know whether we are or not is to let him speak his word. We've got to let the Bible speak. Got a comment, got a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Even though we right back has a couple of announcements about events, an event coming up on March the 2nd and the 3rd, so write this down on your calendar. Especially if you're in the West Ashley or downtown area or James Island, make certain that you write these dates down and be able to join us that Friday or Saturday night. Here's the details about it. And even though we are at break, go ahead and call our question here at 308-9564. We'll be right back. Give me your time card for the call out to this Ashley if you're able. Again, at time card, we'd love to have you be able to sit down and talk about the things of God. Also, again, the Bible course is available to you. Go ahead and call the operator standing by at 553-5157. That's 553-5157. As right now, with your question, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564. The lines are open, and so you should be able to get in with your question kind of quickly. 308-9564. If you prefer, you can send us a text message at 724-9283. Again, that number, 724-9283. We have done over several things about how to recognize the church that God recognizes, his church, the one that Christ died for. We've gone over how that he is to have all authority, both in name and practice, and in heaven the worship that is going on around the throne of God right now is focused on the Lamb who died and was slain to wash away our sins. And so that's who has all authority, who should receive all glory and all honor. We also notice that Moses himself did not get away with taking glory away from God. Even though it was seemed to be accidental. He was not allowed to go into the promised land. In the New Testament, there's another example where Herod was one that did not rebuke the people from having a tribute given to him when they said, "This is the voice of God and not of man." He didn't stop them from saying that, and thus he also was punished by God himself being eaten alive. You can read that in Acts chapter 12. So if God is serious about that, which obviously he is, then we should be certain that Christ is the one that gets all the glory, not man, not preachers, not positions of people, not entitlements that even sometimes people use God's name in front of their name. And does that surprise you? Look in the King James translation in Psalm 111 and verse 9, and you see, "Holy and reverend is his name." That's the name of God, that's not of man. Well, that says what was going on in Acts chapter 12, doesn't it? This is the voice of man, not of God. Well, you can see the similarities there. So we need to make certain that God gets the glory. We also notice that the New Testament church, the made up of people that love God and love one another. Then last segment, we notice that the New Testament church was a church that had the plan of salvation, which includes the step which marries us to Christ, which is baptism. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, we see that that's what was done from the very beginning in Acts chapter 2. They were told that they needed to know that Jesus is Lord and Christ, to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, Paul wrote about this in Romans 6:3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, and that step is just as vital as repentance and confession, and we need to make certain that we do not leave it out, because as the church as you look at the church in the New Testament, it included this idea of baptism, and it was done the same day. The only exception to the rule was 3 days later. people telling him why you're waiting, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So he was the only one that delayed his obedience, but he obeyed immediately when the evangelist told him what he needed to do. So that's what the New Testament church looked like as far as how people become Christians. We'll also look at the Lord's Supper and what God says about that in just a moment. But I believe we have a question that we're going to interrupt this progression with, and we'll be back to this in just a moment. Nick, you have a question now? By the way, those of you that are waiting, go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564, that's 308-WJMI, or you can text us at 725-9283. Ebony calls in his question today. She says his tithes and offerings only financially. Well, Ebony, by the question, we may look at where it was established. We see time and occurred in Genesis chapter 14, where Abraham paid a tithe to Melchizedek. That was not done as a matter of law. Moses, it passed that point again to Leviticus, the 27th chapter, and we see the tithing again, but this time it's done as a matter of commandment. And the law of Moses, and the law of Moses tithing was not only had to do with money, but rather they would tithe 10% of all they had. That's really the idea. If we look at verse 32 of Leviticus chapter 27, the Bible says, and concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, whatever passes on the road, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. And so they gave of livestock, they had grain offerings, and so they would offer what they had to the Lord. All that would be required, even sometimes the fruit of the grass, as is referred to in Nehemiah chapter 10 and verse 37, where it says, and the tithe of the ground unto the Levites that they were to give. And so what was coming up out of the ground, the produce, they were supposed to give a tithe or a 10% to the Levites. And the idea is that was being dedicated to the Lord. That was under the law of Moses, but when we fast forward into the church dispensation, which is where we are, we don't find the church being commanded to tithe. Rather, the church is told how to give, and it's not the idea of a 10%, but rather the Bible shows us in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, that they were to lay by and store, or set aside, set something apart, as God had prospered them. And so that's the Lord we follow today. I want to encourage you to take a close look at what the church was commanded to do by contrast to what the Jews were commanded to do under the law of Moses. Keeping in mind that we are not under the law of Moses. And if I was to go back to the law of Moses and practice the law of Moses, according to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, the Bible would suggest that I have fallen from grace, and so we don't want to do that. We don't want to go back to the law of Moses. We absolutely want to do what the church is supposed to do, and that would be inclusive of how we give. Ebony, very good question. I sure hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's number call, 308-9564. Or you can text at 725-923-9283. And you can text in that, your question that way as well. Another characteristic of the New Testament church was not only they give all glory and honor and power to Christ, not only were they to love one another as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, but they were also to enter into this relationship, which included a bath. A birth that Jesus spoke of in John 3 and verse 5, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so that birth included dying with Christ in baptism, Romans 6, verse 3, and many other passages. Now, there's another characteristic that you should look for, and that is, if you define the church that is spoken of in the Bible, you find them gathering on the first day of the week to commune with the Lord, called the Lord's Supper, also called the Table of the Lord, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23 through 26, we see the details associated with that, and how that thou wert commanded to take, eat of the bread. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Now, he now commands, he says, do this, this do, in remembrance of me. Then he says in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So, there it says that they were to do it, and there was an oftenness associated with it. Well, how often did they do that? Well, going all the way back to verse 1 of that same chapter, we see Paul, as he was speaking by revelation, he said, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. So we need to follow his example. Just to make certain of that, I'm looking at also Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, where Paul says, brethren, join in following my example. In chapter 4 and verse 9, again he says, the things that you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So there, not less but 3 times, we see the command that we should follow his example. So if we find the example of Paul in how often he partook of the Lord's Supper, the communion, this feast that we want to remember God in, or remember what Christ did, then we should do as he did. And now we can find that example in God's Word. In Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 7, I'm going to misread this, so write this down and look it up on your own and make certain that I'm messing up, so I'm going to let you know to miss out on this. Go look it up for yourself, but how are you going to mess it up to begin with? Here we go. It says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, he says, now in the first day of the year. It didn't say year. But what if this voice had said, first name you, between the rest of it? When the disciples came together, Paul ready to depart the next day, spoke to them, and continued his message until midnight. But we can see they came together for the purpose of breaking bread, but the verse didn't say you. What if it had said you? How often would they have come together? Once a year. What if it had said first day of the month? How often would they have come together? Why? Monthly. But it doesn't say you, and it doesn't say month. Our verse here says, now in the first day of the week, and that's today, the first day of the week, that they came together to break bread. That's what they did. That's what Paul did. And we are commanded to do and follow his example. So therefore, if that's what the early church did, and that's what we should do. So when you're looking for a church that the Bible would be describing, then you will find a church that is meeting every first day of the week to that just now recognized if it's a yearly, then a year, then it belongs to you. If it's a month, then it would belong to month. So if we're going to be consistent and understand it that way, then what's the problem with us coming together every first day of the week? Well, there is no problem. And the truth of the matter is, if we're trying to honor God, that is one of the most important things that we do all week long. We get to meet with our Lord and to honor Him as we remember His body and His blood. Why would we doubt such a thing? So I've asked to take another break. Even though we are at break, you can go and call in your question at 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. Well, back live now. We do want you to know that we've got questions coming in, and we're glad to accommodate those. Please go ahead and give us your questions, and we will go to to the Bible for the answer. The number 308-9564 is the number 308-WJNI. Or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak. As often as the case, we have questions that come in right here at the end of the broadcast, so go ahead. I think we just missed one of you. I apologize for that, Glenn. Hit redial and you can get right in. The lines are now available. 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. Again, you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak. I've been talking about these characteristics of the church, and so you're going to try to find the church that you read of in the Bible. And what would that look like? So we've talked about a number of different things. We've talked about how they worship. And more importantly, we talked about when they worship. It was on the first day of the week. And we see it's a matter of example, Acts 21:7. And they would come together to partake of the Lord's Supper. And we should follow that same example talked about the commitment that they had to one another seen by the law that they had. 1 John 13:1. Jesus says, "Then shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, if you have love one for another." So that's the kind of commitment they had to one another, and it was seen by or characterized by the love and relationship that they had with one another. John calls in this question. John, thank you so much for calling. We sure appreciate you tuning in and the sincerity behind your question. That is commendable. John's question is, I've done a lot of learning since being baptized. Should I get baptized again? John, it is not a matter of just giving rid of sin that's involved in baptism. It is a matter of knowing the right reason behind it to begin with. In Acts 19, we have a man preaching a partial gospel coming through the Ephesus area. His name was Apollos, and then he passed on through. When Paul followed up and came back through that same territory, and And he found out that these individuals didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, and so therefore their baptism, even though it was supposedly, according to John's authority, it was no longer valid baptism. Because it was, had nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. And so they were baptized again for that reason, because they had the wrong information to begin with. The right information is crucial because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so they'll probably well in excess of 100 different, I'll use the word flavor again, 100 different flavors of baptism going out there that man has come up with. But the Bible only speaks of one. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one valid baptism going on right now by God. And that baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38, to wash away the sins, Acts 22 and verse 16. We die with Christ in baptism, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, that we are buried with Christ in baptism, the same passage, that we rise to walk in newness of life again, and that it is a matter of salvation in God. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Mark 16 and verse 16, and also 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. So there are several other characteristics or things associated with the valid baptism of today. So, if you had that full understanding the very first time you were baptized, it was not a matter of because the preacher said it or to please a loved one or because of peer pressure, or any other motivation, it was to, first of all, please God, and it was by the correct information, you would never need to be baptized again, but rather to repent of your sins, and ask the Lord for your forgiveness. That's expressed and elaborated on in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. And so that's all you would need to do after that. But now I will be cautious here because of all the different things that are taught about baptism today that are only giving you a partial picture. And the crucial elements that the salvation part of it is not connected with it. And if that was said, the truth in the denomination or the church that you are associated with, then I would say, in God's eyes, you may never have been baptized by His authority, because faith, it was not by faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That is so crucial. Let me illustrate it in the Old Testament. There was a man by the name of Naaman. He was told to go dip in the River Jordan 7 times to remove his leprosy at the prophet of God had told him to do this. Well, he went off because he had a preconceived idea and was going to go back home. Someone talked him into going ahead and doing that simple thing, and so he did. And he says when he came up the 7th time that his skin returned as if a newborn baby's skin. And so he was healed of his leprosy, but only after fully obeying the Word of the Lord. Now, he would have had to cross that same river on the way down to talk to the prophet. What if he had gone swimming in that same river before being told to dip 7 times? And I said that he just happened to go under 7 times. Would it have healed him of his leprosy? I think you're right there. That's right. He would not, because God had not told him yet. So, it is not until God tells us that it can be by faith. And once we see what God says, and then we obey, then God fulfills His end of the promise and cleanses us. Not from leprosy, but from sin. And so hopefully, John, that has been helpful to you. Again, the passages that we just refer to, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Mark 16:16, 1 Peter 3, verse 21, Acts 22, verse 16, and Romans chapter 6, verses 3-7. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. And thank you for your question. That is, I appreciate you showing us your heart and your question, John. Thank you so much. Again, the number is 308-9564. We have Martha calling in today. Martha has a very good question and a challenging situation. Again, expressing her heart and concern towards a friend who is a woman preacher and trying to get her to understand that God does not speak to her or tell her to pray. She says, what scriptures can I use to explain that to her? And so we do appreciate your heart. I'm going to offer you two past scriptures because I'm satisfied that there are two past scriptures that is just undeniable. One, the idea that God is speaking to you. If you're looking in your Bibles, the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it is clear and evident that God only speaks through one person in these last days. The Bible says that. What I always tell people, I didn't write this stuff. This was here before I got here. And so what that means is I have to accept what he says. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and whom also he made the world. And so the Bible says in these last days he speaks to us by his Son. So anytime someone tells me God is speaking to them, I already know they're telling the untruth. Either they're telling the untruth or the Bible is not true. And so I tell folks, you're forced between a rock and a hard spot. You have to choose. Either the Bible is true and you believe it, so that would mean that this passage is true, and there is no way around it. And so that's one passage I would use as that may be a help to her. The other passage concerning a woman being able to preach and how to get her to listen, I use just one passage of scripture because I'm convinced it's enough. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you have Paul addressing issues in the church at Corinth. No doubt. In fact, the entirety of the book is him addressing these issues. In verse 33, though, I think he established a context that sometimes is dismissed. He says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as feast of the saints. Notice that he uses the phrase, all the churches. What happens when people read this text and say, well, he's not talking about all the churches. He's just talking about the church at Corinth. That was verse 33. Verse 34 says, let your woman keep silent in the churches. So it's still this plurality. And so this is not something that just only applies to the church at Corinth, but rather the churches, he says, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And someone says, well, mate, you know, I think that Paul didn't like women, because I've heard that. And someone says, well, you know, this only applies in church at Corinth, and I don't know what Paul was thinking. I've heard all kinds of things. But here's why the rubber meets the road. If you look at verse 37, this is a passage you just can't deny. Paul goes on to say, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet, maybe a person thinks himself to be spiritual, he says, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. You see, if I believe that Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and now if you don't, that means you're going to reject just about 11 or 12 letters that were written in the New Testament, so you just reject the New Testament essentially. If you reject Paul, and so if you accept Paul, then you have to accept everything that he's written as being inspired by the Holy Spirit. And here he's more specific to say that the things that I wrote here, this is, in fact, the commandment of the Lord. And so God is very clear about what a woman's behavior is supposed to be inside the church. And this is not us saying these things, and therefore this would not be you saying these things. In fact, I would just let her read it. And then highlight these points so that she can see this is God speaking. And if her heart's right, if in fact she has a pure heart, will you take a pure heart and you couple it with the commandments of the Lord, a person will obey.
Amen.
First Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, look at that, and you'll see. It's time for us to take a break, even though we're out of break, our last break, we have to encourage you to go ahead and call in your questions. The number to call is 308-9564. I realize that last segment was maybe something difficult to choose. But take a look at these pastures. Pray about it. But if this this is what God has said, then this is what we need to do. We'll be right back. Again, we will be meeting in West Ashland, so we want to encourage you to take advantage of it, to come out and be with us and hear a message from God's Word, and also be able to get your questions answered. Also, we mentioned the correspondence course throughout the broadcast today that is available to you. And even after the broadcast is over, that number at 553-5157, number Johnson 2, what we call the Bible study program. And so you can call it throughout the week. If your message is designed to encourage you, and at the end of that message, there'll be an opportunity for you to sign up for a correspondence course if that's something that you are interested in. Tell your friends about it, and those you will find this to be a helpful tool. You tell your friends about it. The beautiful thing about the correspondence course is you don't have myself, you don't have Richard, you don't have Chuck telling you what the Bible says. In fact, you get to read it for yourself. You can disagree. And that's the beautiful thing about it. You can read it for yourself, but if it says what it says, then you're forced, if your heart's pure, to do what God says. You are about your mom and daddy, you are about your friends, you are about your religious friends. Worry about God. God has to be first in your life. And so the way to make him first is to simply do what he says. Do. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. It's our last segment. We have just about 8 minutes or so. 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak. Have you ever wondered if Jesus was a good-looking man? Well, you might be able to look over the wall somewhere right now and see a picture of what some Ernest thinks the Lord looked like. Well, the truth of the matter is, the only picture that we have of Christ is in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2 and 3, where it says he has no fear or comeliness. And when we see him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. So, Jesus was not a good-looking man. And it goes on to say that he was not even a popular man. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, faces from him. He was despised. despised, and we did not esteem him. So Jesus was not good-looking. He was not buff with muscles going out everywhere. And he wasn't popular. So why would people follow him? Well, the truth of the matter is, among the hundreds of thousands of people that were around Jesus in the first century, very few, percentage-wise, did follow him. A matter of fact, on the day of Pentecost, when that 3,000 initially became, if you will, part of God's church to begin with, that 3,000 represented a very small percentage of the people that were into Islam during Pentecost. And so, now, you could safely say that Christianity has never been a very popular religion. That is, well, I use the word religion as a process of trying to reconnect with God. So therefore, it is still not very popular with the populace. And what we need to do is understand that now, when Jesus says that few there be that find it, that means few. There's not going to be many that will be following after the true gospel message. Now you might say, well, wait a minute, there's Christianity things going on all over the place. Yes, but how are they following? Are they following the doctrines of man, or are they following the doctrine, the teaching of God? To look and see who is it well following, or if it is a healthy life gospel that has attracted you, and that is that if I just give to my heart, I'm going to be blessed more than I can stand. That's not in the Bible. Yes, there's a verse that talks about that principle, but the idea of bargaining with God, I'm going to give you this and you'll give me that is totally against what Christ taught. Matter of fact, some of the apostles started out wealthy, but every one of them died poor. Jesus Cain could have come into this world a king. If you will, in a royal family, according to the flesh, but he was pure from the beginning, and he died only owning the clothes on his back. How the Lord of the universe remained pure. And so, if you are one that wants to go after a gospel that is going to make you feel good, look good, and have a lot of the aspects, then you are looking at the wrong place. What we need to do is to find what God has for us, and it may not be all that popular. What we need to do is find out what God has to say, and able to serve Him. In the short few seconds that we have a couple of questions. Go ahead.
And just real quick, this tattoos and kiss God's blood. We look at tattoos, and we do a search of the New Testament church. And it's just not a subject that comes up, and so we don't want to speak when God has not spoken concerning what we can and cannot do. It just doesn't speak on that subject matter, so you have to make that determination on your
own. Okay, and another caller calling in this question, how can I get my spouse to go along with me in giving my life to Christ? Let me encourage you to look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I know it says women now, but it would be both genders if we do what God wants us to do and be what He wants us to be. Then that example will accomplish what you desire now. We're out of time. We do want you to know that we are thankful that you have taken out your afternoon to join us in learning the Bible speak. The true joy and fulfillment can only be coming from what God would have in our lives, and not what man would supply. It won't come through physical things or position or money. It only comes through yielding to the Creator's touch. My friends, let us encourage you to find your answers in this life about the life to come as we let the Bible speak.